It's time now for The Best of Ourselves with Marcia Hyatt. Good morning.
Good morning, CJ.
What a beautiful day, huh?
Oh my gosh, the sunrise was just gorgeous. The light is gorgeous. We are entering that season of light.
I know, and I'm so excited.
It brings hope.
It does.
Yeah. Speaking of hope,
yes,
I want to talk about how we deal with our triggers. You know, what pushes our buttons, whatever language you want to use. It's different for different ones of us. Sometimes it's things not going according to plan, or it's what someone says, or someone doesn't respond to you the way they want to, and you have this reflexive response. You know what
all
I'm talking
above.
About?
All of the above.
All of the push. Yeah, I'm kind of a broad range of
trigger person.
Yes. And so one of the ways we usually deal with our triggers is, one is if we notice it. I often will beat myself up for feeling that way.
Oh yeah.
Like, I know better than this. I just fight it.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily work. The other thing that is pretty common for a lot of us is to blame whoever we think, you know, so we can discharge that uncomfortable feeling and saying, they shouldn't have done that, or they shouldn't,
right.
Or this shouldn't have happened. And we blame something.
Right.
And that's a discharge, but again, not terribly effective. Another technique that I use, and many of us use, is numb. It's like, I don't want to feel this, so I'm going to get busy, I'm going to have a glass of wine, I'm going to eat a bunch of chocolate. You know, we have different ways of numbing.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, that doesn't make it go away. And you might like not feel it right away, you might feel like, okay, yeah, it's not me, it's them. But that doesn't actually help you grow. There's an anonymous quote that's, fear, uncertainty, and discomfort are your compasses towards growth. I think, you know, so the whole thing about discomfort that I don't like, you know, I like things to go smoothly, according to plan, everyone to be smiling, but life doesn't unfold that way. And so I had this interesting experience in the last month where I had a trigger three different times, the same trigger. And it went from that first time that trigger happened. I'll tell you the story. First time that trigger happened, it was like, you see, my hands are kind of relaxed. They went to a fist, tight. And my whole body was like that the first time the trigger happened. By the last time the trigger happened, I had feelings, but the feelings didn't have me. And it's like, oh, that's cool. I want more of that. So let me talk about it a little bit. So just before we're heading to visit some family, we're getting the house ready to leave, and pipes freeze. And pipes burst.
Oh.
And yeah, a lot of folks have had this year.
Yes.
So we're not alone. But what I noticed in myself, it was just this, I mean, I truly, my whole body was like a tight fist. It was just, oh, you know, just tight, and this shouldn't have happened. And, you know, how could I have fixed it and all this? And it took me quite a while to just like even get to sleep that night, you know, to get back into my body. That was the first one. Okay, so the second time we were actually gone, and people staying in our house said, there's no water. And again, this really primitive tightness happened, a wash of sickness in my stomach. I couldn't concentrate. And I'm just like spinning out all these stories about what's this going to cost and what are we going to do about this? And I'm just not present. I'm not present. I am tight, and I'm spinning out stories, and I'm not there. So now this is my second experience of having my body taken over by a trigger. And the day later, when some lovely folks helped get our well thawed, which is what was frozen, I thought, okay, now let me think about this. And what happened to me was I was not present. And this is, I'm studying with Roxanne Howell Murphy, the author of Deep Living and Deep Coaching. And what she suggests, so I thought, okay, I'll try this. What she suggests is, when you have a trigger, be with it. Notice it. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. Don't try to use logic. Just notice it, sort of name what you're feeling, allow it, accept it, and then see what happens. So the third time our pipes froze, which it's like each week I had another opportunity to deal with a trigger, right? And I'm thinking, and it's the first reflexive, which is what happens, right? That tight, my body turns into a fist again. And then I thought, okay, let me just notice, where am I feeling the tightness? And what is that about? And what's the fear about? And what's that feel like? I don't know. It's like a magic thing happens. It melts. It melted. It didn't. I had the, oh gosh, you know, what's going to happen now? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't as powerful a grip mm-hmm. as the first two times.
And lasted a much shorter time.
It did.
I'm guessing.
It did. It was like I went my, again, that tight fist bodied to more of a relatively open hand. I can't say like I was mellow. That's just not really in my DNA. But I didn't feel possessed. Mm. And I think when we have a trigger, like someone says something to us mm-hmm. that really hurts our feelings or disappoints us or whatever, we get possessed by the reaction.
Yeah.
And instead of denying it, what if we were just present with it and just notice? Because often it's connected to something else that's happened to us mm-hmm. that it's a deeper fear or old story.
Yeah.
And if we could just pay attention to that, not try to talk ourselves into being anything different, it's amazing what power that has to sort of loosen the grip of past patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a space between the stimulus and response, as Viktor Frankl said. And it's not about logic. It's not about beating ourselves up. It's just about being present, allowing, noticing, naming. And maybe the trigger will melt a little bit.
Just like your pipes.
Just like my pipes. Thanks, CJ.